Hi, I'm Frank Yulee. I'm the creator, writer, and producer of the Nick Guy Private Eye Apologetics series. I also supply the voices for Nick Guy, Dr. DeSoto, the Human Eel, and several other incidental characters throughout the series. For these special features, we thought you might enjoy some of the thoughts and insights of the people who make this whole thing happen. Well, to start with, I'd like to answer some of the most common questions we receive concerning the series. First of all, how did it all begin? Well, Nick Guy made his first appearance on a 5-minute weekly radio show of mine called Reality Check. I liked the character and brought him back for a 2-part installment. It was then that I realized that this character needed a longer format to be able to fully and effectively develop him. I settled on a 25-minute format. After a few failed attempts at a script, I finally came upon the idea of using Nick Guy as a way of presenting apologetics for various doctrines and aspects of the Christian faith. Once I had this focus, things began to roll. Nick Guy and the Empty Tomb Affair, which offered a defense for the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, was the first installment to air, and that was as an Easter special in the spring of 2010. Another question I get asked is, how many voices do you do? Well, as I mentioned earlier, I provide the voice for Nick Guy, Dr. DeSoto, and the Human Eel. Well, some of the other recurring voices I do are Loose Lips Louie, Beanie Olson, Russell Motheaton, Professor Dastardly, Gizmo Penn Palmer, both Nit and Dim Whitley, Mario Capuzzo, and several others. I'm also asked, which of those characters is my favorite? Well, apart from the main roles, I do like doing Beanie Olson. He's pretty straightforward and honest. Mario Capuzzo is another favorite, and to me, many of his lines are funny simply because of the delivery. Two other characters I really enjoy doing that haven't appeared a lot in the Nick Guy series are the Sea Captain and his nephew, Lil Cap. They always provide a lot of humor when they're in an episode. The captain talks with a lot of authority, yet he has this nasty habit of sinking every ship he captains. But he's always optimistic, even as it's going down. And I just like the sound and the flow of their voices. And actually, they are the same voice. It's just that for Lil Cap, we raise the pitch so he sounds like a child. I'm sometimes asked where I come up with the voices I use for various characters. And actually, that comes from any number of sources. Some of the voices I do are my impersonations of famous people. Now, they don't necessarily sound exactly like the person I'm impersonating, and I can't really say people recognize these impersonations very often, but it does fill the need of finding a unique voice. For example, Nick Guy is my impression of Cary Grant. Now, some younger listeners may not be too familiar with who Cary Grant was, but he was an actor who had a very distinct voice and a very distinct accent. Another voice is the mayor of Megapolis City, which is the same voice I used for the Silas Ebenezer character in Nick Guy and the Christmas Carol Affair, is my impersonation of President Ronald Reagan. For the Professor Dastardly character, I use my Peter Lorre impersonation. Now, Peter Lorre was an actor from the 1930s through the 1960s. No one would necessarily mistake my take on his voice for Peter Lorre himself, but hopefully they would recognize it as Professor Dastardly. For the voice of Dr. DeSoto, I drew my inspiration from an animated film from the 1980s called Rupert and the Frog Song. The film featured Paul McCartney of the Beatles as the voice of Rupert the Bear, and for this he simply spoke in a little bit higher pitch. So this is simply my take on that type of voice. I also like the British accent he used, so I copied that as well. Other voices I use just come from my imagination. I will sometimes just start talking in an interesting voice and begin playing with it. Sometimes I go so far as to develop a personality and a background for this imaginary person. Mario Capuzzo is an example of this, and I just hit upon that voice one day, and before too long, this whole character came to life. Many people are interested in knowing where the inspiration for the stories come from. Actually, topics are not difficult to find. One good example is the whole evolution creation debate. There are so many avenues that can be taken that topics seem endless. We did one adventure that dealt with the age of the Earth. Well, the whole program centered around the existence of meteors and how they present problems for the evolutionist. Many more scripts could be written on that same topic and using all kinds of different evidences and proofs. Also, since the mission of the series is to help equip the church to be able to defend the Christian faith, we try to choose topics that believers are likely to be challenged with. The issue isn't finding topics, actually. The issue is finding topics that we can work into a storyline. We have to come up with a viable reason why someone would hire Nick Guy to investigate the age of the earth, or if it's possible to legislate morality, or what it means to be poor in spirit. And that's really where the tricky part comes in. One final question I'd like to address is, what value does the Nick Guy series have for the church in this day and culture? And that is a question we asked at the very beginning of this ministry. I wanted the series to be entertaining, combining comedy with adventure, but more importantly, I wanted it to have some eternal purpose. I wanted it to be something that would be useful for the kingdom of God. With each passing year, our culture is becoming more and more secularized, having less and less interest in God's word and giving it less and less heed. The Christian church, the Christian faith, and even God himself are under attack. There was a time in our culture when we could appeal to Scripture as an authority to settle a moral dispute. Well, that day has passed. What was once considered good is now considered evil, and what was once considered evil is now considered good. With this being the case, there is a need for the average believer to know what is true and what is false, and to understand sound doctrine, and to be able to give a good, solid defense for that doctrine. My hope and my prayer is that we are able to accomplish this.